Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and I'm talking with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. He is the former congressman from the 2nd Congressional District. Steve, how are you doing this week?
Well, I'm doing well, except for the extreme cold and that gas prices hit a 7-year high. I noticed that more of the states now are rolling blackouts. Our state has been promised that coming in the summer, but I think that we have blackouts during this cold spell, too. That's what the energy policies of the left are going to bring us. A lot of times the sun doesn't shine and the wind doesn't blow, and so you're not going to have those so-called alternative energies, and New Mexico is extremely at risk, but all in all, we're doing well.
Did you happen to see, as the state legislature goes forward, and I think by the time this airs, this may have already been decided, but I think it was Senate Bill 14, where they're going to put California-type taxes on our gasoline, and we'll be paying $4.50 a gallon. How can New Mexicans do that? We don't make the kind of money they make in California.
Yeah, it's part of the obtuse approach to governing that the Democrats have. They just assume that if another state can do it, we can do it. Our average income is somewhere around $35,000. California, I would suspect, is double or maybe even higher than double of that. People, working families, are not going to be able to pay $4.50 a gallon. It's obscene and it should not be occurring. The only way to get around it is start electing Republicans.
And the Wall Street Journal is talking about voting rights. Let's talk about voting rights for minorities, because this has been going on for years.
Yeah, a February 3rd article in the Wall Street Journal, Kimberly Strassel writes about Eric Holder and his democracy con game that he's got going. She basically says that he campaigns against gerrymandering everywhere except the Democrat states. If it happens there, then it's okay. New York has drawn especially egregious maps just recently, and Eric Holder remains silent about that. He and other Democrats are bringing lawsuits against every red state, which draws the maps, but they have yet to log one lawsuit against the gerrymandering that has occurred in the blue states, like, for instance, New Mexico. So the Republican Party of New Mexico has brought suit because that was an especially egregious gerrymander that Speaker Egoff promised and delivered. He said that he bet Harrell would not be able to win after he redrew the maps. We'll see. I think that she's going to win anyway, even with them trying to tie her hands behind her back. But this con game going with this whole voter reform and everything like that, it's the Democrats who are rigging the elections. And they are accusing the Republicans of that. The Holder strategy basically is being described by his own side as sue to blue. That is, sue the red states and change those maps from red to blue. A lot of the people who track this very closely are saying that the Democrats are winning an uphill battle here. More states are Republican than Democrats. After Obama, 1,000 down ballot seats. That means state legislators, both senators and House members in states across the country, changed from blue to red. And the Republicans, I think, at this point, control about 33 of those state legislatures. And so now then the Democrats are suing every single one of them, but they have yet to bring one lawsuit. Even one of the insiders in the Democrats' camp that works on the redistricting described the New York maps as being a masterclass in gerrymandering. That's not something to be bragging about, but it's what is going on. Eric Holder and his sanctimonious preaching to the country about rebuilding democracy is actually trying to destroy the republic and destroy the ability of the minority to vote. So we'll see how it works, but right now, just a lot of damage being done to the voting for conservatives across the country.
I see where, after years and years of growing subscribers, Facebook has started to lose subscribers.
Yeah, on Thursday of last week, Facebook went into a tailspin. Mark Zuckerberg, the basic founder of Facebook, had been saying that he hoped to have every single person in the world, that's over 7, almost 8 billion people, he was going to have them on Facebook. Something about the performance didn't look right to investors, and Thursday, Facebook lost $220 billion of its value. That's 20% in a single day, and people are saying basically his dream of bringing the entire world onto his platform is simply dead. His big blue app is failing to perform the way it should. So in response to all of this, then the Republicans and the conservatives across the world are creating social media platforms. They're organizing and starting these sites generating from the conservative side. So Trump's Twitter-like program, Truth Social, is getting a lot of attention and a lot of use. Gab, G-A-B, is another one. Parler, we've heard a lot about it. Getter, G-E-T-T-R. Rumble. Give, Send, Go is standing up to be an alternate to GoFundMe. The Align Pay is sitting up in order to replace PayPal. And so a lot of effort and a lot of expenditures, a lot of investment from the conservatives saying we're tired of being censored. We're tired of being shut off and our access to our platforms shut down. Our voices completely shut out. And so I credit again Donald Trump with a lot of the focus on this because he's the one who first used social media to win a presidential election. But then he was the first one to be completely banned from social media so that he wouldn't win this last election. It's censorship at its worst. This nation with the big tech giants is becoming worse than China. It's exactly the same as China. You can't say anything that leads to freedom. The topics that you can discuss are limited. Unless you're talking about things from the left, then you have unlimited access. So the country and the world are beginning to stand up and fight back, and they well should because our freedoms are at risk. If we will, on the right, continue to invest, and we're going to have to set up a duplicate system in almost everything in life. If we will continue to invest, then conservatives will control the market. Right now, it's getting harder and harder for Republicans to get insurance. They simply are being written out. If the word Republican is in the name, like the Republican National Committee is having tremendous difficulty getting insurance, it has doubled. They have never had one claim, and yet their price has doubled in the last 2 years. So it's time for conservatives to start having their own insurance. It's time for us to have our own seniors organization. We shouldn't be sitting here listening to the left-leaning organizations of seniors. So let's get out and form our own. It's time. Republicans can fight back. It's just that we've been complacent and we let the left own all of these social media sites, own the data sites, own the polling. And we're now fighting back. And it's high time because the future of the country is literally at stake.
And again, the left-owned sites censor Republicans. Even conservative radio talk show hosts get booted off of Facebook or Twitter if they speak their mind. From what I understand from Donald Trump, his site won't do that even to the left. You say what you want and people can decide for themselves.
And that's the way it should be. That's what freedom of speech is all about. It would be as wrong for the Republican sites to have censorship as it is for the left. And I believe that Donald Trump's sites will be fair. That's something I know about the man. And so, again, we're fighting back, and we're fighting back in an appropriate way. And as we get alternatives, I believe people will shift their entire purchasing and their entire viewership over to these other channels. So the fight is on. We all know what the stakes are, and we simply have to have the courage to push it all the way to the finish line.
Steve Pierce and I will be back in just a moment. We'll be talking about Republicans censoring Republicans next on Inside New Mexico.
Attention, New Mexico veterans. If you were honorably discharged from the U.S. Armed Forces, you've earned state and federal benefits, and the New Mexico Department of Veteran Services is standing by to assist you. State benefits include a veteran's property tax exemption, education and training, and transportation services. We can also assist with claims for federal VA benefits. The state of New Mexico and this radio station thank you for your service. More information at nmveterans.org or 1-866-433-8387.
Thanks for staying with us on Inside New Mexico. I'm talking with the chairman of our Republican Party, Steve Pearson. Steve, a couple of Republican lawmakers have been censured by Republicans. Tell us what happened.
Yes, this was an issue that came up this past week at the RNC meeting in Salt Lake. We had a couple of Republicans, Liz Cheney from Wyoming, Adam Kinzinger from Illinois. I know them both, served with both. The resolution at Salt Lake was about them being on the January 6th committee. The Republican leader, Kevin McCarthy, refused to appoint anyone to that commission because he said it was already rigged from the get-go. It was not going to be fair. It was not going to be unbiased. The Republican Party has condemned all of the violence on January the 6th, but Kevin McCarthy saw this as it really is, just a witch hunt. And that is what it's turning into be. So he didn't appoint anyone to the committee. So Nancy Pelosi chose Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger. And so what the Republicans did is say that you two should have stayed behind your leader. You should not have acted in concert with Nancy Pelosi to give this the appearance of being bipartisan, because it's not bipartisan at all. It's a rigged game. That January the 6th commission is doing the same thing that the Mueller investigation did. It's simply propagating things that are not true. And and we'll see where it ends up. But the Mueller investigation, the whole Russia hoax, these are things of dictator states. These are things that arise when you have people in control of the media, when you have people in control of the political process. These are not the things of a republic, and that's what this resolution that condemned them. It did not remove them from the Republican Party. I didn't think that it should, but it did tell them, please, if you're going to be a Republican, then at least have the decency to follow your leaders when you're there in Congress. Don't allow Nancy Pelosi to get this idea into the public mind that it's somehow bipartisan, because it's not. Liz Cheney, her father, of course, was Vice President Cheney under President Bush. I knew him and talked at length with him. I like Liz Cheney fine. I just think she's wrong in this issue. She should not have allowed herself to be appointed to that committee. And she faces a tough time in Wyoming to get reelected. She's got an opponent against her. Liz is raising a lot of money. The Democrats want her to continue to win. So she has $4 million to the other Republicans, $1 million. And in Wyoming, if you get elected in the primary, there is not generally a general election, so this is it. But they did kind of a straw poll recently, and about 53 out of 60 votes for the opponent to Liz Cheney, and Liz Cheney had 7 or 8 votes. And so a massive differential in the Republican Party there. The Republican Party in Wyoming has basically said, Liz, you're not welcome at our meetings anymore. I don't think they have the ability to strip the Republican title from her, but they've taken a very hard stance. I think that the National Party was judicious, and so that censure was passed unanimously, and we'll see how it affects them in the coming election. Adam Kinzinger is not even running for re-election. I think that he figures his days are done, but Liz Cheney is actively campaigning, trying to win that seat back in Wyoming.
You also talked about fair debates while you were in Salt Lake City. Tell us what came up.
Ronna McDaniel, I think, has done a tremendous job in leading the Republican National Committee, and she has gotten right into the debate on presidential debates. There's a commission that was established, oh, I don't know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and the Republicans and the Democrats joined together to create the commission. But through the years, as any organization will do, it has become self-serving, and it's become very left-leaning. People will register as Republicans, and they're not really Republicans, but they have that title behind their name. They get appointed as the Republican on the commission. So in this last election, you saw that the debates didn't actually begin until after 26 states had already started to vote. That's way too late to have the debates, and they knew it. They knew that Donald Trump would trounce Joe Biden in any of the debates, and so they didn't want the debates to occur then. So that was one thing that the Republicans asked for. Just have it up front before any state start to vote. A second request was, again, very genuine. The debate moderators should be fair. You shouldn't have people who work for Joe Biden being the debate moderator in a debate where Joe Biden is one of the participants. That's something that happened in the last election, and Republicans are saying, no, you shouldn't do that. Then the debate commission itself should not be biased. One of the debate commissioners was trashing Donald Trump regularly, and so these are just the very simple requests of the Republicans. So what we did in Salt Lake was give Ronna McDaniel the power to pull out of the debates and simply not participate. And we also passed a resolution that said our Republican candidate for president will have to honor the RNC positions on this. So it's a very big deal. As you know, the network television stations make a lot of money on these presidential debates. And when you begin to hit them in the pocketbook, I think that we're going to find fairness. But we felt it was important enough of an issue that we gave unanimous support to Ronna McDaniel to negotiate all the way up to and including getting out of those debates by the CPD, the Commission for Presidential Debates. And so that's an interesting subject that we should be following over the next months. I think that there'll be a resolution by the summertime, because the presidential debates will be occurring in 2024. And that's not very long away when you're planning TV schedules. And so the Republican Party is in full competition with the Democrats in areas that used to the Democrats just had complete control on.
I don't think many of our listeners, or did I, know about dealing with these debates, that all these things went on. So it's nice to know that we're getting smart and we're fighting back. Speaking of television, I understand Bill Maher has come out again, making fun of the party he used to be so closely aligned with.
Yeah, he may not be sounding like a Republican, but he is sure sounding anti-Democrat. He's talking about the crazy left and just basically laughs at them and points a fun finger at them. He's very critical of their wokeism. He's very critical of the way the party is going, the socialism. He's critical of the young socialists out there that just because they haven't experienced socialism to be bad, they think that it's good. And he has made fun of that. So we've got a clip here from Bill Maher, and just listen. We played one of his clips several weeks ago. He's doing it again. I think it's newsworthy. So listen as Bill Maher talks.
Let's get this straight. It's not me who's changed. It's the left, who is now made up of a small contingent who've gone mental and a large contingent who refuse to call them out for it. But I will. That's why I'm a hero at Fox these days. Which shows just how much liberals have their head up their ass, because if they really thought about it, they would have made me a hero on their media. People sometimes say to me, you didn't used to make fun of the left as much. Yeah, because they didn't give me so much to work with. The oath of office I took was to comedy. And if you do goofy shit wherever you are in the spectrum, I'm going to make fun of you because that's where the gold is. And the fact that they are laughing at it should tell you something. It rings true. When normal people read that San Francisco has basically legalized shoplifting, they think Democrats have gone nuts. They think, you know, that Ted Cruz guy seems like a real stiff. But at least he believes in the concept of shopping with money. It's not my fault that the party of FDR and JFK is turning into the party of LOL and WTF. Members of Congress tweeting things like cancel rent, cancel mortgage, and no more policing or incarceration, declaring that capitalism is slavery, canceling Lincoln and Dr. Seuss, teaching children their oppressors and math is racist, making Mr. Potato Head gender neutral, and now an emoji for pregnant men. Real, I'm not making it up. California just passed a law requiring large retailers to have a non-gendered toy section. A non-gendered toy section? Isn't Ken enough? We need a law for that? You have to inject yourselves into everything, from where you can throw a frisbee to who can braid hair? This is why so many people, by the way, were triggered by COVID policies. They were already sick of rules. But Democrats have become a parody of themselves, just making rules to make rules, because it makes you feel like you're a better person. Making sure that everything bad never happens again, which you can never fully do. It just makes everyone else's life a drag. The Biden infrastructure bill has a provision that requires all new cars to install an alert system that goes off when you leave a baby in the back seat, which is something done only by crackheads and people who sadly, yes, do it on purpose. And after every one of us winds up bearing the cost for cars to install this alarm, you know who's going to ignore it? Crackheads and people who do it on purpose.
Bill Maher there, courtesy of HBO. Steve Pearce and I will return in just a moment. We'll be talking about what the Republican Party is doing for Black History Month on Inside New Mexico.
National Guard and Reserve members are true leaders, both in the military and in the workplace. They are highly skilled and get the job done every day. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, can help you recruit top-notch service members to your workforce. Hiring Guard and Reserve members is good for your business and good for your community. Visit esgr.mil/employers to learn more.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico. I am talking with Steve Pearce, the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico. This is February. As we record this program, it is Black History Month.
It is. One of the things that Ronald McDaniel and the leadership of the Republican National Committee has done is beginning investing in community centers. They're going right into neighborhoods that previously were not recognized by Republicans, and they didn't recognize Republicans. And so now we're going straight in there. The last one was opening up a community center in the Lumbee tribe in North Carolina, and they played a clip from that at the winter meeting there in Salt Lake, and it was stunning. A wall-to-wall crowd, just a high sense of excitement. The Republicans won that vote in that Indian tribe, 50,000 voters, and they voted predominantly Republican in the last election. And we're finding when we go into these communities and say, come be a part of us, we're going to come into your community. We're not asking you to come to our Republican headquarters. We're going to make a community center in your area and in your neighborhood. And the response has been ecstatic. The black voters, just the same as Hispanic voters and Native American and Asians. The Republican National Committee is doing more work to reach minority voters than ever before, that you're starting to see major changes in those vote patterns in Virginia. Glenn Youngkin won the governorship because 55% of Hispanic voters voted for him. 44% voted for the Democrat, Terry McAuliffe. And as we see these vote patterns shift, that's alarming the Democrats. It's behind their reason for now wanting 16-year-olds to vote, because they realize that 18-year-olds, 16-year-olds, the younger people in the country get most of their information from the internet, and they know the internet is biased. And so they say, okay, we're going to counter these defections from people who used to vote Democrat, now voting Republican. We're going to counter that with young people. And so New Mexico is trying to pass a law to allow 16-year-olds to vote. It's just the way of politics today. There is no safe ground in any state. It's just total combat trying to figure out how to rig the elections.
So if you can't win with the issues, cheat.
Yeah, so if you can't win with the issues, cheat. Now, one last issue before we close out the program. I think everybody's watching that truckers convoy, the Canadian truckers convoy. That's gotten a lot of attention, and people were contributing heavily to that. There's a GoFundMe page that was set up, raised $10 million. After it distributed $1 million back to the truckers, then GoFundMe, the executives at that site, decided that they would not give any more money being contributed to the truckers. They wouldn't give it to them. Instead, they began to give it to things like Black Lives Matter and other left-leaning causes, Planned Parenthood. That's not their jurisdiction. So the truckers immediately closed their page. They went over to the Give, Send, Go page, and in the first 12 hours, they raised another $1 million. And now then, the farmers are joining up with the truckers saying, we're going to speak against the tyranny. Then you've got the students beginning to speak up across the country. Everyone is understanding that this whole shutdown, this whole thing about COVID, has a lot of lies attached to it, and they're tired of it. They want their freedom back. They want their jobs. They want the ability to feed their families. And people are protesting in big numbers because truckers are saying, you cause us to get vaccinations and take our jobs away because we don't want to get vaccinated. That's illegal. It's immoral. And we're going to fight back and stand up. And so huge protests across the world, but Canada is definitely getting a lot of attention. But GoFundMe, it's going to be exactly like Facebook. Going to start losing a lot of value because people are not going to trust them anymore to distribute the funds where they're trying to contribute them to.
Yeah, if I donate money to something, I want it to go to what I donated it to, not what they think it should go to.
Yeah, that's a, so. that's a clever thing. That's like a taxation now. They take your money in taxes and they spend it on social programs that you'd never give to yourself. And so they figured, okay, we can do this in the free market too. So it's obscene.
There's a movie coming out in the spring called 2000 Mules, and we were talking about whether the election in 2020 was rigged or not. And this group follows this guy around, and his job is to dump ballots into these boxes that are set outside and aren't monitored. And they follow him through his cell phone to every place that he goes, and they've got, I guess, video of him dumping ballots. That should be on ABC News tonight, but it's not. There's also a book, I understand, that's coming out about the rigged election.
Yes, Molly Hemingway spoke to us in Salt Lake at the Republican National Committee meeting. She talked about her book Rigged, and she has 60 pages of footnotes. She has documented it very well, talking about the areas where absolute illegal activities were occurring. But she's talking about the dump stations and the ballot boxes and drop stations. They're supposed to have cameras, but nobody checks the cameras. And once you get the ballots out, put them in a van, nobody can see inside the van. You don't have cameras in the van, so you don't know if they changed out boxes inside the van. That's very possible. It's something that they do here. Remember, under Yvette Harrell's first race, they found all those 4,000, 5,000 extra ballots, and amazingly, 85% or more for the Democrat. And it's also amazing that they didn't vote down ticket, so they didn't have time to fill them out all the way up and down, so they just checked off the top spot and sent them on the way. So Molly Hemingway's book is out, and I would recommend it highly. She and a co-author, Carrie Severino, wrote about Justice on Trial. That was the confirmation hearings on Brett Kavanaugh. And so, again, we're getting to talk to some of the leaders in the nation, and a lot of things happening from the right, pushing back towards the Democrats, as well we should, because they don't see the future of this country the way that we as conservatives see it. Conservatives, very basic. Faith, family, freedom, and service. That's us and our values. We support lower taxes, lower regulation, support securing the border. We hate the way that Biden pulled out of Afghanistan. Those are things that Republicans stand for: lower crime, protection of the unborn, protecting your constitutional rights to own weapons. Republicans have absolutely the strongest ground for the voters in the country. Democrats are very good, though, at spinning things and changing the discussions. So we take no election for granted. It's up to us to work tirelessly on behalf of everyone. And so, again, we say if you want to change in America, you're going to have to vote Republican.
Thank you, Steve Pierce. If you've been listening to us and would like to find out more about the Republican Party of New Mexico, you can do that by checking out the website at newmexico.gop. The party has a Facebook page and a Twitter account. The handle is at newmexicogop. If you'd like to talk to someone in person, you can call party headquarters at 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662. For Steve Pierce, I'm Derek Underhill. We look forward to meeting with you again next week right here on Inside New Mexico.